at the church say amen. Amen. We certainly thank God for this beautiful day that he has blessed us with to come together once again to honor him and to glorify his holy name. There is none like our God. And we thank him so much for every blessing that he gives us. I want to thank Brother Larry for the outstanding way in which he has led us this morning in song. God continue to bless you. We thank Deacon Johnny for opening us up, getting our minds ready to receive in graphic word. We thank you for your prayer that you offered up, especially on my behalf. I thank you very much for that. And then we thank John Lee for the reading of God's word. And, you know, it's just so refreshing for us when we see our young men step up and begin to take those steps to do great things for the Lord. You know, he has been serving on the table. That was his service that he offered, but now he has stepped up and read scriptures and did very well this morning, did he not? Did extremely well. And we appreciate that so very much. In fact, I think we got a preacher in the making because he's already demanding his amen. So we're excited. We're excited. John Lee, excellent job. And not only him, but we have other young men, Achilles and Adrian, who are waiting in the wings, and they're going to do great things for the Lord. You never know what God is going to do with them. You know, our very own Ronnie Powell started out that way. And look at him today. Very powerful man of God, and we appreciate so very much. And anything that you can do encourage them, please do so. I don't want to forget Thomas. I don't want to forget Thomas either. Now, Thomas is going to be a preacher. He already told me so. So we want to encourage our young men. I want to thank this congregation for what you have done for me and my family on this past week. Many of you know you've been praying. You knew of Aspen's surgery that we had, a very serious surgery. And I just want to let you know that she is doing extremely well by the grace of God. Amen. And we appreciate so very much your prayers that you offer up, your kindness, your visitations, your flowers, all that you have done for us. And we just know that we are a love family. And if there is any family, church family, that I want to be associated with, as we go through these things in life, it will be you. I prefer no other but you. And we appreciate the prayers of everybody on the outside of this family, but you have been tremendous, and we thank you so very much. She is resting comfortably. In fact, when she came out of the surgery, she said she was a little surprised that it didn't hurt as much and all of that. So she is doing well. Some of you have seen perhaps the pictures of the tumor that was taken out of her. You would not believe that size tumor can come out of that small frame, but it did. And when you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about if you haven't seen it already. But we thank God. We thank God for his grace. We thank God for his mercy. We thank God for you. As I went through last week, it was very difficult for me to preach around what happened. As I considered many things, as I prayed to our God fervently to ask him to have favor on us. And I know that many of us who are sitting here have gone through very similar things, very serious surgeries. And, you know, when you are the parent of those situations, I truly believe that it's even harder. Because of your children, and you see that, and it's very difficult. So it was very difficult for me to preach around that event on last week, and I somewhat tried, but here I am. I'm asking God to help me so I can go through this lesson and explain and talk about some things and some things that we could we can use for our lives that will be stronger and ready to serve him. I thank my son Ronnie for giving me some clarity. You know, I was a little scatterbrained in there in the hospital and getting to ask around and try to gather some thoughts. And he was a tremendous help to me, so we appreciate him very much as well. The title of our lesson on this morning is, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. And that is a very, very popular song. And this title was lifted from that song. And it's been with me for a long time. It was a great R&B song. It was a great blues song. It was a great rock and roll song. That's how popular the song was. And the original artist was Mr. Smiley Lewis. That song was released in 1955. And then later sang by Mr. Fats Domino. And then also Mr. Dave Edmonds has a version of, and his is excellent as well. So it's a very, very popular song. I like that song because it always reminded me of this. No. You cannot have. Stop. You cannot enter. It always reminds me of that. And I found myself this week as I was praying to my God fervently, as I mentioned, constantly, that I began to pray deeply and to ask God to have favor on me and mine. Those of you who've been there, you know what I'm talking about. You see, because you have no control. It is out of your control. It's in the hands of a living God. And whatever he decides to do is what he's going to decide to do. So you can pray all you want, but God is going to give his answer. And when he gives his answer, you and I better be ready to accept whatever it is. No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, when God speaks, he has spoken. And that's it. So we're going to look at this morning at several men who went through some very difficult times in their lives. And we're going to see how they reacted. We're going to see them pray to God and ask God and for God to hear them knocking. And we'll see that God did not let them in. Now, it's very important that you do that. It's very important that I do that because I needed to realize in that deep, deep thought process that I had, whatever I was going through, asking and begging and pleading to God, you have to consider the other side and say and realize God may decide otherwise. That's just the way it is in this life. And if he decides to do otherwise, guess what? He's still just. Amen. He's still true. He's still faithful. He has given his answer. That's right. So when you begin to look at our lives and we go through and find out and begin to ask God Almighty for things that we want, that we really desire, you see, we need to consider and understand that sometimes God says no. That's right. And when he says no, the best thing that you and I can do is to praise him, is to worship him even more so. That's all that we can do. That's the wisest thing that we can do when we begin to look at our lives. Why do we get to that point? Because we're simply not in control of what God will have in his mind, in his heart, in his will to do. You see, I realized that God didn't owe me anything. Amen. And he didn't owe you anything either. That's right. God owns everything. Yes, sir. Lot, stock, and barrel. Everything belongs to him. He doesn't have to justify anything to you and I. His will is his will. And when we have these things in our lives, it's very difficult. We need to understand how we are to adjust to those things. Now, I have 3 points that I want to make, at least 3 characters, and I'm going to squeeze in a 4th one because if I'd have said 4, some of you would run for the hills. This lesson is going to be too long. You see, Jerry has the ability to go 5thly and 6thly and 7thly, and y'all think nothing of it. Because he goes through his, and it's pretty quick, and you know he's not going to be very long. So I'll stick with my 3 and fool you and squeeze in my 4. Job was a man. In Job chapter 1, right? The verse is 4. We find a man who loved God, who spent his day, even though he was a wealthy man, praying for his children. Right? Job said, I pray and I offer burnt sacrifices in the event that they have cursed God. Because they're away from me now. They have their own houses that they live in. I don't know what they're doing, but I'm praying. I'm going to worship for them because I love my children. He had 10 children, right? In the beginning when we get to read. But we find also in verses 18 and 19 of Job chapter 1 that a wind came from all four corners, blew the house down, and the Bible says that all his children were dead. They died. In spite of his prayers to God for his children, God saw fit, his will, that they would die. Now, we're talking about this man Job and what he did, but you find in verse number 29, the Bible says, yes, he tore his clothes, but he fell down and he what? Worshiped. In spite of his prayers to God and God's decision, he did not turn and say, God, because you didn't give me what I asked for, I'm going to turn my back on you. The Bible says that he fell down in worship and gave us beautiful words after that, didn't he? Amen. Naked I came into this world and naked I will leave. God is God. He doesn't owe me anything. God has spoken, and because of that, I will accept it. You see, God heard Job knocking, but he couldn't come in. When we look at Moses, that great leader of God, who God had raised up, you see him drawn from the river and all these things that God had in mind to allow him to be raised in Pharaoh's house and to gain all that knowledge and skills and things that would be needed later to lead his people. We'll find this about Moses. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 20, if you will.
Yes, sir.
Numbers chapter 20. And I want to begin reading at verse number 2. Because these are men that we're talking about that was highly favored by God. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Highly favored. Famous characters that God used, that we're learning from even until this day. The Bible says that Numbers chapter 20, starting at verse number 2, the Bible says, now there was no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only had we died with our brethren, died before the Lord. Why have you brought up this assembly of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor are there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle meeting, And they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to this congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Moses is mad. Moses is angry because they're contending with the Lord and they're complaining. And yes, the people were turned on Moses. That's why he fell on his face with his brother and began to offer God, and God came and appeared to them. He said, oh, ye rebels, here's the mistake. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Mistake. Because you compared yourself to God Almighty. Must we? No, Moses. Must God. You see. And because he made that great mistake,
Let's read on. The Bible says in verse 11, then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. You made a mistake, Moses. You have erred greatly when you included yourself with the Lord as to what was going to happen, what was needed to be done. Now, he has been told that you will not carry this assembly into the promised land. But the Bible goes on and share more information concerning this man, Moses. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 3, if you will, please. Deuteronomy chapter 3, starting at the 23rd verse. This man, Moses, has been given what God has said. You will not take this assembly over. But you know what? That don't stop us from asking, huh? It don't stop us from begging. Because what Moses was saying, he said, then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, I plead, I beg, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, listen, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes towards the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold, it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. God said, I hear no more of this, Moses. I have given you my answer. You defiled me in front of the children of Israel. And because of that, you will not go in. But it didn't stop him from asking, did it? It didn't stop him from pleading. But when God gives his answer, it is his answer. I hear you're knocking, but you can't come in. Let's look at another one. How about David? Oh, yes, we got to consider David, right? Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12, if you will, please. You know what happened there, right? I know you know what happened there, but I need to read a little bit because these are being recorded. They do go out, and many people don't know what you know. So we need to tell the story about David, this great man of God, this great warrior king who did many wonderful things, victories upon victories. But David was a man, you see, who was flawed like you and I. And the Bible says that one night, one evening, he's sitting on the top of the house when he should have been out with his men, looks down and he sees a woman that doesn't belong to him. He began to inquire about this woman. He's been told this woman is married. Here's her husband. In fact, here's her father. But he said, bring her to me anyway. And it was a mistake on his part. We know the story of what happened. He went into this woman, right? Killed the husband, Uriah, with the sword, sent him at the front of the battle to try to cover up his sin. Well, God, you see, when things happen, nothing is hidden from God. David might have thought that he got away with something, you see, because he is the king. But there was a prophet, you see, Nathan, who paid David a visit and began to share this story with him in 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting at verse number 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man, who he had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you and your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the of this son. For you did it in secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put your sin, put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. The payment for this sin, David, is that child is going to die. This child is going to surely die. But you see, when we have sin in our lives, and the consequences may come, as David found himself, he now has a child. And the Bible goes on, if you continue to read this story, as we will, you will see David. Just because David has sinned against God Almighty, it did not stop him from pleading for this child's life. The Bible says, you see, at verse number 15, then Nathan departed his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became ill. David therefore pleaded with God, begged God for the child. And David fasted and went in and laid all night on the ground. So the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. And the servant of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Notice, so David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, went into the house of the Lord, and what? Worship. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servant said to him, what is it that you have done? You fast and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food. And he said, while the child was alive, I fast and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now that he is dead, Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. You know, some people just know how to take their nose, you know? Yes, I messed up. Yes, I'm knocking, you see, but the Lord wouldn't let me in. And when he got his answer, and the final answer was, he said, I need to go on and accept the will of God. I have prayed, I have pleaded, but God has said no. And the Bible says he got himself up to the amazement of his servants. What in the world is this man going to do? You see how he acting while the child is alive and dying? Who's going to go tell him that the child is dead? That's why they were over there whispering, trying to find out who's going to do it. You do it. You do it. They're trying to find out who's going to do it. But he perceived in their whispering that the child had died. And he asked. Some people just know how to take their nose. And we need to learn how to take ours as well. We look at this great example of this man, Moses. Yes, God heard you knocking, but he would not let you in. You know, when you look at our final one, and this is the third, fourth if you add Job, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, when God set his path, it's set. And when you begin to look at what needed to be done for this world, that his son, Jesus Christ, the only one that can do it, had to come to this earth and die for our sins. It is fascinating. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and the verses 15. Let's start there right quickly and we'll see where all this started for you and I. You see, because Jesus has always been here. Isn't that right? Now, he wasn't born during Christmas time. That's not the beginning of Jesus. He has always been here. And the Bible says at verse number 15, when you look at the sin that Adam and Eve had made and God is now dispersing, you know, the consequences of those sins. And he says concerning Jesus and the devil in verse 15, he says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Notice this. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. How prophetic that is. Because what that is talking about is Jesus coming one day and having to die on the cross for the sins of the world, that evil men are going to come and bury him, right? And he's going to rise again on the third day, just as the scripture said. That's what this is all about right here. This is the battle that was fought and won from you and I from the very beginning. We're already victorious. We've already won because of Jesus. You see, we lose when we lose sight of that and begin to live the life that the devil wants us to live, and then we find ourselves missing out on the blessing that was given to us from the very beginning. We find out, you see, yeah, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to send a crushing blow to your head. Jesus will be victorious. Now, with this in mind, turn to Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to start reading at verse number 36. And I want to show you how much God thinks of us. I want to show you what a great sacrifice that God made for you and I. I want to show you why God doesn't owe anybody anything. God paid the price, you see. He doesn't owe us anything. His no's are no, and we need to accept that. The Bible says at Matthew, the chapter is 26. Starting at the 36th verse. It is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? You recall the story. He's praying and going through agony because now his hour has come. The time has come from way back in the beginning that he knew that he would have to do. But he is the Son of God. He was man on this earth, you see. We need to understand what is going through his mind. How you can have those who will support you and all of a sudden they can't be found. The Bible says at verse number 36 of Matthew chapter 26. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here a while. I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And pray, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And it came to pass, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed, what? A third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Three times the Lord asked his Father to let this cup pass from me. Three times he asked, not my will, but your will. Three times. The only begotten of God, his precious son, have asked him to let this cup pass from me. In other words, I don't want to die. And God said three times to his son, no. No. And that's why Jesus said, let your will be done. Because in his agony, as to what he was going through, Jesus, the human part of him, would have said, it's too much. But God said, my will be done. God said to his son three times, no, for you and I. And we don't think that we're special. You don't think we should live for God? You don't think we should glorify his name? You don't think we should tell everybody about the goodness of God? God said no to his very own son for you and I. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel pretty special. That's why I don't let nobody talk down to me. That's why when somebody says something I know is not true, I don't worry about it. You can call me whatever you want. You can call me the N-word if you want. I don't care because I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who died for me. I know who loved me from the very beginning. That's why I have a great attitude. That's why I'm positive. That's why I'm confident. And you should be too. I am a child of God. I don't care about your day-to-day. I don't care what school I went to. I don't care what my GPA is. I don't care how much money I make. I know who I am. And if you're wise, you'll be like me. Take all your money and your accomplishment, all that you have. If you're wise, you will think and be like me. Therefore, I don't look down on anybody. But nobody's looking down on me because I know who I am. And I think you know as well. Can you imagine that? For us, mankind, the very people who put his son on the cross. God knew this. And his son is asking, let it pass from me. And God said, no. His very own son, I hear you knocking. But I won't let you in on this occasion.
Isn't that something? That's why when I go through what I went through last week and you go through what you go through in your life, look to God.
Amen.
And know that He is. And know that whatever happens, I am going to praise You.
Amen.
Because everything belongs to You. Help me in my weakness. Yes, I'm praying. Yes, this is what I want. But help me in my weakness. You see, it's good to praise His name when things go your way, isn't it?
It is.
When you get what you want.
It is.
It's no different than your parents. Your parents are the greatest thing in the world when they give you what you want. But as soon as they tell you no, you got a problem. Well, God is no different. Sometime, at some point in His life, God is going to say no to what I want. What am I going to do?
Amen.
I want to do as Job did.
Yes,
I want to fall down and worship Him when things don't go my way. I want to do what Moses did. When Moses was told no and was told to you go up there and you take Joshua and you prepare him to take the children of Israel over into Jordan. That's what you do.
Right?
I want to do like David. When I didn't get my way, you see, and I fell down, clean myself up, rise up and worship God. I want to be like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who in spite of what He did not want to do, did it anyway so that you and I can live. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Sometimes no means no. And when the answer is no, let's be big boys and big girls and accept it. I don't even want to imagine where I would be had God said otherwise concerning my baby girl. But this I know, because I've been trying my best and I've looked at other people around me suffer. You ain't the only one to ever lose a child.
Right?
Amen. There's nothing that's going to happen to me that hasn't happened to some other people in this world. What make you so special? Why can't I tell you no?
Amen.
Yes, Lord, You can tell me no. And if You do, I'm going to fall down and worship You. Do I look forward to those times? No, I don't. But I had to ask myself in deep prayer, okay, mister, what you going to do if God says no? All that talk you've been doing, that preaching you've been doing, those Bible studies you've been doing, all that encouragement you've been giving, when the people look at you, if God says otherwise, what are you going to do? I pray to God that I will fall down and worship Him and call on His holy name and tell people that He is even greater. Right?
Amen.
See, when God says yes, He's great. When God says no, He's greater.
Amen.
In our eyes, right?
Amen.
How else can we show what we made of?
Right.
Anybody will, you know, gravitate to that which they've been given. I'm happy. I'm pleased. But what happened when you're down and you didn't get it? Now God is looking at you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Turn your back? Too many people have turned their back on God because they didn't get what they want. All manner of things. I didn't get the love of my life. I didn't get this. I didn't get this. I need to go here. I need to go there. And they turn their back on God. Man, what a time to show God that you love Him. Yeah, it comes with pain. I understand that. And none of us want it. And I certainly don't want it. But I pray to God. I pray to God. And I want you to hear me and do all that you can to encourage me. If something befalls me, I pray that I will get on my knees and praise and worship God.
Amen.
To do anything less, I know I will be destroyed as a person. I just want to be faithful. Come good, come bad. I just want to be faithful. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. No sometimes just means no.
If you're here this morning
and you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become a child of God.
Yes.
We want to encourage you.
You can obey Him. That's why, as we talked about, God sent His Son to die on the cross for the sins of the world so that you and I can be with Him. That's what He did.
You come by hearing His Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
You need to believe that Word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him.
For he that come to God must believe that He is, and has rewarded them that diligently seek Him.
Then you need to repent of your sins. Luke chapter 13 and verses 3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
Then you need to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, the verses are 32 and 33, says, confess me before men, I confess you for my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I deny you for my Father which is in heaven.
Then we need to be baptized in the water for the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2, the verses 38, Peter told him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Then we need to be faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verses 10, tells us to hang in there. Don't quit. There's a crown that's coming for you and I. It will be faithful unto death. That's what we need to do. Be faithful unto death. No matter what may come our way, be faithful unto death.
If you're a child of God this morning, and you have not lived that life, you have not shown the faith that God wants you to have, perhaps we're still on that road and still developing. Yes, that's good. Let's get to where we need to be. But maybe you haven't done that, and maybe you have said something, done something that's against God's will. Change that today. Come down and let the saints pray along with you. God indeed will forgive you, and He will make you right with Him once again.
If you're here this morning, you need a prayer, you know someone, why don't you come as together we stand and sing the invitational song.